Face it, shaker bottles suck. Your protein shake always comes out clumpy and you look like an idiot using the thing. That's why I decided to ditch my shaker bottle for good and get myself a BlendJet 2 portable blender. It makes perfectly blended protein shakes that come out smooth, creamy, and delicious in just 20 seconds. So go to BlendJet.com and use promo code DECASTPOD at checkout to get 12% off your order. That's promo code DECASTPOD to get 12% off your order at checkout.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language, but just didn't have the time or money? I may have a solution for you. Her name is Jessica, and she gives free Chinese lessons daily at 11 p.m. Beijing time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Chinese is fun and easy if you have the right teacher. Let Jessica be that teacher and introduce yourself to the fastest growing language in the international job market today at tinyurl.com/TCJessica and tell her Ian sent you.
Hello and welcome to the DeathCast. I'm your host, author, and journalist, Ian Tott, and I'd like to thank you for joining me as we prepare to take our ninth look at the West Memphis 3. Now, before we get into it this week, as always, I have the normal show notes. If you'd like to follow me on social media, just search for The DeathCast, DeathCast Pod, or DeathCast Podcast. If you'd like to help support the show, there is a couple of ways you can do this. First and foremost, you can go to your favorite podcast app, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. Secondly, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/TheDeathCast and make a one-time donation. Lastly, you can go to the show's official Patreon page, which can be found in the show notes. For as little as $2 a month, you can help support this show, get access to exclusive content, as well as early ad-free shows. All right, now that all of that is out of the way, get yourself something to drink, find a nice comfy chair. I've got my coffee, but no cigarettes because I'm in a hotel again. Let's go into the crypt. When we left off last week, we were discussing Jesse Miss Kelly's trial, how his defense tried to put on a defense for him that he was brainwashed and had falsely confessed to the police that he had been involved, and then again falsely confessed sometime between June and July. Then they largely let that particular line of thought die as Jesse confesses on his way to prison. However, what is to come next is one of the two most damning confessions that Jesse Miss Kelly is going to make. This occurs on February 8th of 1994. Now, the confession he had made to the officers transporting him took place on February 4th. Dan Stidham, Brent Davis, Gary Gitchell, and John Fogelman all traveled to the prison on the 8th because they had just learned of Jesse Miss Kelly's most recent confession. And this was particularly upsetting to Dan Stidham, who had begun working with the HBO film crew on the Paradise Lost film. And to him, it was crucial that Miss Kelly continue to maintain his innocence, as that was the tact the filmmakers were taking. And if Miss Kelly did not do this, then it would basically blow up the plot of the film, which they were hoping would lead to the boys being released. According to Brent Davis, they arrived at the prison and were able to get Miss Kelly sequestered in a room, and Stidham spoke to Miss Kelly for 10 or 15 minutes. Davis was quick to point out that there was no law enforcement officers in the room during any part of what was to occur next. He stated after this 10 or 15 minutes, Stidham came out of the room, grabbed a Bible, and went in. And after roughly 30 to 45 minutes, Stidham exited the room. Speaking of Stidman, Davis is quoted as saying, quote, he was very upset, unnerved, just kept mumbling things. I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. I don't know what to do now. Further expounding upon this, Davis said, Mr. Stidham went back into the room, at which time he did not allow us, nor did we request or insist on having contact with his client. He went back inside and talked for about another hour and came back, and if paraphrase indicated that his client's story matched with the facts much better, and there were a few things we need to do to be able to corroborate his statement. This is important. At roughly 3:20 on the afternoon of February 8th, Stidham began recording his conversation with Jesse Miss Kelly at the Pine Bluff Diagnostic Unit. I'm going to read some parts of the transcript. Okay, Jesse, a few minutes ago I asked you about making some statements to the officers when they transported you from Piggott to Pine Bluff. You told me that you had told them some stuff. Is that correct? Miss Kelly, yes, sir. Stidham, and at first you told me that you were just making it up, that you were lying to them, and then you placed your hand on the Bible and told me that you were there when these boys got killed. Miss Kelly, yes, sir. Stidham, what's the truth, Jesse? I want to know the truth. Miss Kelly, the truth is, me and Jason and Damien done it. Stidham, you were there when the boys were killed? Miss Kelly, yes, sir. Stidham, now what's going to be very important is for you to tell me why it was that you have been maintaining that you weren't there all this time. Miss Kelly, I was scared. Stidham, what were you scared of? Miss Kelly, I always lied and I hadn't ever put my hand on the Bible and swore. Nobody didn't tell me to do that. If they would have told me that at first, I would have done it. Nobody told me to put my hand on the Bible. Stidham, okay, so basically, you've been lying to me and Mr. Crow for the past 7 or so months about not being there when in fact you were there? Miss Kelly, yes, sir. Stidham, okay, Jesse. Let's start from the beginning. I understand that you received a phone call from Jason sometime before the murders. Remember when that was? Miss Kelly, on Monday. Stidham, on Monday before the Wednesday? Jesse, uh-huh. Stidham, when did he call you? What time? Jesse, about 6. He asked me to, did I want to go to West Memphis with them, find some girls. Stidham, any mention of hurting some boys or killing some boys at that time? Jesse, no, sir. Stidham, and what happened on Wednesday, May 5th? Did you spend the night with Josh Darby on May the 4th, that Tuesday night? Miss Kelly, yes, sir. He picked us up in Nettles Trailer Park in West Memphis at Josh's mama's house, and we left about 9 that morning, went to Memphis Roofing, and we got off about 12. Me and Josh did, and after I got me something to eat, I went to Stephanie's, and then Vicky bought us some Stedham. Wait a minute, let's stop. You say Josh and Ricky D dropped you off at your house about what time? Lunchtime? Jesse, it was after 12, I'd say about 12:30. Then I went in the house and got me something to eat, and then went to Stephanie. Stephanie Dollars, I babysitted Cody while Stephanie had to go to the school about Courtney. I stayed there for a while. Jesse goes on to recount how his girlfriend had shown up not long after school went out. Jesse, we sit there and talk, watch TV, and babysitted Cody. About 5:30, Cody got slapped by Connie, and then I went down towards Johnny's, and I called some police officers. Stidham, Johnny Hamilton? Miss Kelly, Johnny Deadman. Stidham, Johnny Deadman, did you talk to a police officer that day? Jesse, I told him that Stephanie and them was down the street. They wasn't at home. He drived up in the driveway, but he didn't get out. Stidham, was it Officer Dollawhite who testified the other day? Miss Kelly, yes, sir, it was. I told him they were down the street. I'll say it was a little bit after 5, and then I sat there and... Stidham, first of all, did you see Lewis Hoggard that day? Miss Kelly, he was mowing his yard and he asked me what happened and I told him that Cody got slapped by Connie. Stidham, then what happened? Where did you go then? Jesse. Then I walked down by towards Johnny Deadman's, and that was when I seen Stephanie and Bobby Dollar and Cody, Justin, Courtney, and Ashley and Charles Ashley. This point, Miss Kelly talks about how Johnny Deadman supposedly sent him to Lakeshore to get someone. A man he described as being fairly large, with a beard and a glass eye, who was known to his father. He then talks about his meeting with Dennis Carter down by his house. Quote, Dennis asked me, you know, did I know anyone to get us something to drink? I told him Vicky will, so we gave Vicky some money, and I went down her house and started talking just a little bit, and I asked her, would she go to the store and buy me some liquor? She said yes. She said, hand me the money. She said, I'll go in a minute. I said, okay. I left her house, and me and Dennis went to my house, and, you know, watched as she went around the corner, and we sat there on the corner, sat there and talked about, you know, drinking and stuff. She carried it to her house, and me and Dennis went down there and got it. Jesse recounts that he had asked Vicky to get him a bottle of Evan Williams whiskey. One thing that has been pointed out is that one way or another, despite his hand being on the Bible, Miss Kelly was lying during part of this, as his timeline of when he met the officers does not match up with when the officers' logbooks show that they were at the trailer park. It could be as simple as Miss Kelly was off in his timeline as far as the hours, and that he actually met up with Damien and Jesse later than he's saying he did. We do know that the sun set after 7 on the night of the 5th, so let's just say that everything happened really quickly. He meets this officer at 6:10, gets the booze from Vicky, and then hightails it to Lakeshore to meet up with Jason and Damien. That does still give them some time to get over to the swampland where the boys would eventually be killed. If he did not meet the cops, that still does not negate that both Vicky and Jesse claimed that Vicky had gotten him a bottle of Evan Williams whiskey that night. Continuing on with his confession, Jesse, then I started drinking out a Dennis bottle. I told him I was going to Lakeshore. I met Damien and Jason Baldwin. Sidham asks him what he did with the bottle. Jesse says that it was with him inside of a paper sack and that they met up around 6:30. Jesse, I went up under the underpass, then I saw Damien and Jason. They was at Lakeshore in the park by Quentin's house, Quentin Johnson. It's like a field between two houses and stuff. Stidham, did they know you were coming? Jesse, yeah, because that's when Jason called me that Monday. He said that we was going to go to Lakeshore and find some girls. He called me Monday and asked me to come to Lakeshore. We was going to go to West Memphis. We was going to find some girls in West Memphis. Stidham, okay, did y'all talk about hurting boys or doing anything to boys? Or Jesse, no, sir. Stidham, up until this time, had you ever been to a devil-worshipping meeting? Jesse, yes. Out at Lakeshore, back there at the very back. Stidham, what did y'all do at this meeting? Miss Kelly, well, people bring candles and make a circle and light them. Then Damien would start talking, and we listened to him while he talked. He started, you know, talking to the devil, you know, different kind of ways talk to the devil. Stidham, do they ever talk about hurting people or killing people or doing things to people? Miss Kelly, uh-uh. Damien had a briefcase, and I saw, when he opened it, I saw a picture. It was a Polaroid picture that had three boys that was on a bicycle by some white houses. Stidham, was it a picture of those that got killed? Miss Kelly, yes, sir. After I seen them that day, then I memorized who they were. Stidham, who was in this cult meeting? I want to know everybody. Jesse, me, Jason, Damien, Dominey, I don't know, there's another guy, it was a guy by Lakeshore, he ain't no kid, he's a guy. He's tall, got black hair, he looked just like Damien. Stidham, do you know where he lives? Miss Kelly, I don't know, but he did live out at Lakeshore, almost on the last street. He didn't have no nickname. Stidham, do you guys wear black coats with hoods on them or anything like that, Miss Kelly? No, I ain't got no black jacket with no hood. Stidham, did this other guy that was tall and black-headed have long black hair? Miss Kelly, it was pretty long. Stidham, is your hand still on that Bible, Jesse? Jesse, yes, sir, it is. Stidham, you're telling me the truth? Miss Kelly, yes, sir, I am. Stidham, what else would have happened at these meetings? Miss Kelly, we drank. Stidham, listen to music? Jesse, yes, and drank. Stidham, what about the dog's legs and stuff? Jesse, no. Stidham, why did you tell the police that? Miss Kelly, I just made that up. Stidham, how many cult meetings have you been to? Jesse, about 3 or 4. Stidham, and they were all down in Lakeshore? Jesse, yes, sir. Everyone I went to was. Stidham, what about Vicky Hutchinson saying she seen you in a meeting at Terrell Twist? Jesse, I had never been to Terrell. My hand is still on the Bible. I hadn't never been to Terrell. And Damien don't have no red car. He don't even own a car. He don't even drive. He don't drive. Stidham, did Damien and Jason have any beer when you got there that day out at Lakeshore at about 6:30? Jesse, yes. I think it was a 12-pack. It was in a sack. They kept it in a sack. It was cheap beer. It was just regular brown paper sack. Stidham, tell me about this briefcase. Were you at a meeting when they had a briefcase? Jesse, that older guy, he brought it. He brought the briefcase. Stidham, it wasn't Damien's briefcase? Miss Kelly, no, it was the older guy. It was that guy that looked just like Damien. He brought it, and he had a gun, and he had pictures of them three boys that got killed. They was on the bikes by some white houses, and in the background you could see some trees. Stidham, how can he look like Damien? Damien doesn't have a mustache and a beard. Jesse, when he shaves it, he looks like Damien. Stidham, did anybody else go to these meetings beside this older guy, Damien and Jason and Dominie, any other girls? Jesse, don't think there were no other girls. They're the only people I seen at the meeting with me. Stidham, what was this shit about cooking a dog in a wash tub that you told the officers a couple days ago? Miss Kelly, I made that up. Stidham, now you're not making anything up you're telling me about, are you? Jesse, no, sir. My hand is still on the Bible. Stidham, do you know what devil worshiping is, Jesse? Miss Kelly, Satan. Stidham, did you believe in this stuff, or were you just out there? Miss Kelly, I was just out there just drinking and having fun. Stidham, was this older guy the leader of this thing? Miss Kelly, he told Damien what to do. He always told Damien what to do. He tells Damien, you know, go kill a dog or hurt a kid or something, and he'd do it. Stidham, did he tell Damien to go hurt those kids? Jesse, when I was there, he didn't. He might have told, you know, after, but he didn't tell him when I was there. Stidham, he wasn't there the day the boys got murdered, was he? Miss Kelly, no, he wasn't there with us, but in the briefcase it was them three boys. Stidham, do you think he told Damien to do this? Miss Kelly, I think he did, because I didn't know until after I seen a picture in the briefcase, then after the murders happened, then I remembered who they were. I seen them at the court meeting. Stidham, what did this older guy's name? Did he drive a car or... Miss Kelly, he always walked, you know, out there to Lakeshore. Where we was at, he always walked. Murphy, no, I can't remember. I can't think of his name. Stidham, Murray? Jesse, it started with an M. Stidham, Murray Farris? Murray Farris was a quote-unquote white witch that was known to Eccles and company, although he did not have black hair. Miss Kelly claimed to have never heard the young man's name. Question further about this mystery individual. Stidham, how old was he? Jesse, I'm going to say he was in his mid-20s or somewhere close to his 30s. Stidham, what would he do at the meetings? Was he in charge? Jesse, yes, because he had a briefcase and it was a white bag, like a sandwich bag. He had some white stuff. Stidham, did the older guy ever tell Damien and Jason to do something stupid? Did they do it? You said kill a dog? Jesse, he always told Damien. He knew. He must knew Damien for a long time, because he didn't ever tell none of us to do that stuff. Stidham, did you ever see him kill a dog? Jesse, no. Stidham, okay, May the 5th. You go to Lake Shore about 6:30. You didn't see anybody else there. Nobody else was standing around that would have seen you? Miss Kelly, no, sir, because I always went the back way, you know, toward Jason's house. I always went the back way, not the front way. So we started walking towards West Memphis. We walked over an overpass. You go, it's the overpass between Lake Shore and Walmart is the overpass. We walked over it. We started walking toward West to Walmart. I, Jason, and me, you know. I asked Jason, you know, where we're going to find them girls at. He said we was just going to walk around and look. And I said, okay. So we started walking. We went down Blue Beacon Road, and then by a bridge we saw a little trail, and we went down that little trail, and we sit there, and we started drinking. We went from Walmart, stayed on that road all the way down, went through the red light, over the railroad tracks, and on down to then Blue Beacon and Love's. I was wearing white Adidas. I had a gray shirt. It had short sleeves, blue pants, all greasy. Stidham, what did Damien have on that day? Jesse, like a black pants, black boots? Stidham, did he have a coat on? Jesse, a leather jacket. It was like a biker's jacket. He carried a stick, part of a tree. I would say it was long. Stidham, was it any of those sticks that they introduced into trial the other day? Jesse, yeah. That one that you was holding up that had the bark off of it? Stidham, had someone carved it? Miss Kelly, yes. He carried it with him from Lakeshore. Jason was wearing light blue jeans, black boots, like army boots. Stidham, what kind of shirt did Jason have on? Miss Kelly, it was black and had Metallica wrote on it, and had like a background, like a grave, and it had a cross. We started walking a little bit further, and then we went over a bridge, and then I seen a little trail going down the bank. We went down there and started drinking. Stidham, did anybody talk about hurting boys or killing boys or doing anything to boys, doing anything to anybody? Jesse, no, they didn't tell me nothing like that, but that guy that showed Damien that picture, that's what I figured, that's why Damien, he knew what he was doing, because when I seen that picture at that cult meeting, I didn't know who they were. I hadn't ever seen them until then. You know, after I jumped and started beating them, then I realized that beating them up, beating the kids up, then it went to my mind, a picture came to me, then after that picture came to me and I looked down, that's who it was. Jesse, we sit out there. We sit down and started drinking. We sit by some trees, by a tree that was leaned over. There was like a water pipe. That's what I'm going to say it is. I don't know what it was. Pipe going through this way, making a walkway or something, like a little bridge. Something like that, and we started drinking. Then we started drinking, and then we heard some noise, and then me and Jason hid, and Damien just sit there, and then all of a sudden, he told him to hide, and he did. Then these boys came up. Stidham, what else is beyond the trees? Miss Kelly, there was a clubhouse. Looks like some little kids, you know. They went up there and built it. It had it's black, and to my knowledge, it had sides, like to keep the wind off of them. It had a top over it, to my knowledge. If you're wondering why Stidham is bouncing back and forth, he's trying to throw Miss Kelly off to get him to slip up and make a misstatement that he may be able to use to discredit what Miss Kelly is telling him. Stidham, where do you put the bridge at? Jesse, the bridge, there's the Blue Beacon, there'll be a little driveway right up in there, going towards the field, you know, for tractors and plowers. The bridge, the trail, water and trees, like big trees, and right beside that there's, going across like that, creek, all right, there's the trail, there's the bridge, there's water going up under it all the way down, then there's trees like that, then trees, and it goes all the way to the pipe, and then it goes on out. I don't know where it goes, all I know, it just flows. The house is back by this way, about where the driveway is at, then there's a field, and you can see through them trees, and there are houses. Stidham, isn't there the bayou? Isn't there a bigger river or creek? Jesse, by the field, by that, where the driveway is at, there's a field and there's trees, and just like the bayou goes all the way through there, all the way back towards, back to the, that's it. Miss Kelly, the bodies was thrown in water, big deep. I'm going to say that it comes to over my head. I'm going to say it comes to over my head because I can't get in water close to my head because I have to hold my ears. Stidham, well, were the bodies thrown in close to that pipe? Miss Kelly, close to that pipe, I'm going to say about 15 or so, probably not even that far to the pipe. About 15 yards, probably, maybe not even that much. I could tell you if I was there, it was deep, but can't do it, you know, to my mind, because I don't know. I don't know feet, yards, or nothing like that. I'm going to say it was pretty close to it. Stidham, okay, you were carrying a fifth of whiskey in a paper sack. Jesse, right. Stidham, who was carrying the beer? Jesse, Damien. Stidham, and he was carrying a stick in one hand, the beer in the other? Miss Kelly, it was Jason. Stidham, how many times have you been there? That was my first time. I don't know too much about it. Stidham, did you go back there after the murders like you told Gitchell? Jesse, uh-uh. Stidham, how come you told him that? Jesse, just to have something to stay. Stidham, were you guys in the water? Jesse, I don't get in the water because I can't. I can't get my ears wet. I ain't getting in no water. Stidham, did Damien and Jason get in the water? Jesse, no. Stidham, how come you told the police that you were in the water and they were going underwater and sucking each other? Jesse, I didn't tell him that. I just told him they went under the water. I didn't know what they was doing, but they were never went in the water. Stidham goes back and forth trying to trip Jesse up, but he can't get Jesse to change any of the things that he's stating. Stidham, Damien and Jason get in the water? Jesse, yeah, Damien. We hear some noises. Me and Jason hidden. Damien just sit there and we hollered for Damien, you know, not real loud, but lightly, and Damien hid. That's when them three little boys come out. They came up on their bicycles and they laid their bikes down. Stidham stops him at this point and asks if they'd been doing any drugs that evening, which he denies. He then asks Jesse about the whiskey bottle. Jesse tells him that he broke the bottle. Stidham, you busted it? Jesse, yeah. Stidham, when did you do that? Jesse, going back. When I was going back home, after what I seen, what happened made me mad. Stidham continues on talking about the boys. Jesse states that the boys came in from the direction of the houses, stating that the boys carried the two bikes over the pipes that led into the woods. Trying to trip his client up, Stidham asks him if they'd carried them in or found another way, and Jesse continues by stating that there may have been a trail of some type, but he didn't see it. Stidham, how many bikes were there? Jesse, two. Stidham, what color were they? Jesse, red and a light color, white color, greenish color, somewhere in there. Stidham, greenish or white? Jesse, I'm going to say greenish. It was real light. It wasn't a boy's bikes. Important because the bikes in question were light green and red, and the light green bike resembled a girl's bike. Miss Kelly, they came from back that way, from their houses, from I guess where they live at. They come from that way, from where we was at, was by the interstate, Blue Beacon. Where we was at wasn't far from the dog track. I mean, you could see it just right there. When the boys came up, Damien grabbed one of them. I don't know which one, and the other two tried to get Damien to stop, and then me and Jason come out and started grabbing them. Started hitting them. Damien choked. I don't remember which one. Stidham, now you know you heard during the trial that the medical examiner said none of the boys were choked. Miss Kelly, he didn't choke him. Choked. Just, you know, just say, like, just hold their head and choke. Not hard enough, just holding him. Stidham, when did the Moore boy run from the scene? Jesse, that's when, after I let him go. Stidham, you were holding the Moore boy? Jesse, yeah, and I let him go. Stidham, why did you let him go? Jesse, after I got through hitting on him, I let him go. I let him up. Stidham, he took off running? Jesse, uh-huh. Stidham, had any of the boys gotten killed yet, or... Jesse, no. Uh-uh. Stidham. Did you know what was going to happen at that point? Jesse, no. Stidham, why did you chase him down and bring him back? Or did you? Jesse, no, I didn't. Until Damien told me get him. And that's when I went back after him and got him. Then I brought him back, and that's when... Stidham, what was the boy wearing that you went and got and brought back? Jesse, to my knowledge, I'm going to say that one... I don't know their names, you know, to my knowledge. The one that was wearing, like, a Boy Scout uniform, I don't know. You know, that's to my knowledge. That's what one of them was wearing. I don't know which boy. Important to note at this point that although Jesse was never able to positively identify the boys, he consistently stated that the one that he handled, the one that he assaulted, was Michael Moore, who was wearing the Boy Scout uniform. Stidham, Damien told you to go get him and bring him back? Jesse, after I done hit him first. Stidham, where did you hit him at? Jesse, where did I hit him at? The head. Stidham, and was anybody cut or bleeding at this point? Jesse, no, I was. I was too drunk. I couldn't hardly do nothing. When I drink, I can't hit hard or anything. Stidham, Damien told you to get the Moore boy and bring him back, and you did that? Jesse, he said go get him, so I brought him back and just started hitting him some more. Then Jason pulled out a knife. He took one of them, I don't know which one, cut on him. I think it was on this side of his face. Stidham, which side are you pointing to? Miss Kelly, this is the left. Stidham goes on to ask Jesse which boy was that was cut on the left side of his face, and Jesse states that he thought it was the blonde one, which... coincidentally, would have been Stevie, who did in fact have a large gash on the side of his face. Stidham, did Damien ever hit anybody with that long stick you were telling me about? Jesse, he hit one of them boys in the head, and I don't remember which one. Stidham, okay, when did you realize that somebody was going to get killed? Jesse, after I seen Jason cut that one on his left side of his face, I didn't know he's going to get killed until I saw him get on top of one of them boys and cut him completely. Stidham, what do you mean, cut him completely? Jesse, he cut his penis off, and that's when I realized that, you know, they're going to kill these boys. Jesse goes on to state that at this point he'd pretty much gone into shock and let Michael Moore go. Moore was not moving, and he assumed the young boy was unconscious. Stidham, okay, so were the boys making any noises or anything? Jesse, we put a shirt in their mouth. Damien and Jason did, put their shirt in their mouth. Then we took off their pants. Jason, Damien, and them took off them little boys' pants, pulled them completely off. They didn't unsnap them or nothing. They just jerked, they was inside out. They pulled them from the top, just jerked them off. Then Damien started getting on, started playing with that little boy's penis. I don't know which one, but I remember it was one of them boys that got his pants pulled off, completely off from the top. Then Damien started messing, you know, playing around with his penis and stuff. He put his hand over the top of it on, you know, squeezing it. Then Damien stuck his penis from behind one of them little boys. I don't remember which one, but he didn't stick it all the way in. He just stuck it in and pulled it out. That's it. Stidham, he didn't actually... Jesse, no. Stidham, raping? Jesse, no. Stidham, he just stuck his penis in there? Jesse just stuck it up there and just pulled it out. Then he shot off on the pants and stuff. Who did? Jesse, Damien. Stidham, why did he do that? Jesse, to be sick. Stidham, shot off on the pants? What color were the pants? Was he masturbating? Do you know what masturbating is? Jacking off? Jesse, uh-huh. Stidham, did he wipe himself with the pants or did he? Jesse, no, he wiped it off on the pants. Stidham, what I'm saying, did he squirt it on the pants or did he wipe himself off with the pants? Jesse, he shot on the ground, then he wiped it off with their pants. Stidham, now, what was Jason doing while Damien was doing his jacking off stuff, Miss Kelly? Jason went to one of them boys, started beating him up, just hitting him, and he cut off his, you know, penis and the whole work. Jason got on top of him and started hitting on him. The little boy was squirming, and then Jason stuck he stuck his hand over, you know, a shirt, and then covered his hand over his mouth over his shirt, and he just kept on hitting him, and that boy didn't move no more. Stidham. But you did see him cut the boy's penis off? Jesse, yeah. I just seen Jason on top of him, and that little boy was still squirming, and next thing I know, I just saw a hand come flying like this, that's all. He slung something. I don't know if it was a knife or that little boy's penis or what. He wasn't laying in the water. He was lying on the bank by the water. He wasn't laying in the water. Stidham, blood went everywhere? Is that what you told the officers? Jesse, that's what I told them, but I just seen blood, you know. Stidham, what did they do with the blood? Jesse wiped it off, you know, in the water and stuff, real good. Stidham, what was Damien and Jason saying while this was going on? Jesse, they was just telling them to shut up and get quiet. Stidham, what were you thinking while this was going on? Jesse, that's when I stopped, when I seen Jason get on top of that boy and sling his arm like that. That's when I stopped everything. That's when I stopped. I just sit there. I didn't. I just sit there, and then I was going to see what they was going to do with them. They tied them. Tied their hands, right hand to their right ankle, and their left hand to their left ankle. Stidham, what did they tie them with? Jesse, shoestring. Stidham, why did you tell the officers it was a brown rope? Jesse, I made it up. Stidham, why? No answer. Stidham, you don't know why? Jesse, uh-uh. Jesse continues on stating that he took no part in what was happening and left after the boys were tied up. Miss Kelly, after they done it, you know, they tied them up and put them in the water. Stidham, tell him everything that happened from the time Jason cut the boy's penis off. Jesse, then he said he wanted to come over to where I was at, you know, mess with that boy. I told him no, I'd done seen enough. Then he went over there towards with Damien. That's before that boy got his face cut. Then he went over there with Damien and cut the boy's face on the left side. I mean, after he didn't cut him, he, you know, scratched him. Then he went back and then sliced him. I'm going to say slice. Stidham, did Damien ever suck on that boy's penis? Jesse, that the one that he was going to get, you know, screw him from behind, he went on him, he went down on him, he didn't suck on it, he bit the top, the head of it. Not hard, but I'm going to say he didn't do it hard. I seen his head going down that way. I don't know, you know, I don't know if he did or not, but I seen his head go between that boy's legs. Stidham, after Jason cuts this little boy's penis off, and after Damien jacks off and wipes himself with the boy's pants, then what happens? Jesse, I remember how Damien grabbed that boy by the ears. I don't remember which one, but when he was going to get up the butt, he grabbed him by the ears from behind. He grabbed him by the ears. Stidham, okay, so what happened after, what did Jason say after he cut this boy's penis off? Did he say anything? Jesse, now he said he wanted to do the other one, the one I was beating up on. I told him no, I done seen enough, and I wasn't going to let him do that one. Stidham, weren't you afraid he was going to stab you or something? Jesse, yeah, I was afraid, but you know, I've been stabbed before, but I wasn't going to let him bother me. After they done tied them up, you know, I wiped my footprints with a stick, you know, like a zigzag, covering up my footprints and everything, and the blood, they wiped them on, you know, like in the water, make sure all the blood was off the water, make sure the blood was off the leaves and stuff. Stidham, how'd they do that? Jesse, rub together or get their finger and just wipe it off real good, just wipe that off. Stidham, how close to the water was Jason and the little boy when he takes his pants off? Jesse, to my knowledge, I'm going to say he was pretty enough to splash water out, to splash water. That's how close I'm going to say it was to my knowledge. Miss Kelly recounts how Jason removed the boy's clothing and laid them beside him. Stidham continued on asking what happened next. Jesse, to my knowledge, what I seen, it was hitting. He stuck his finger up the boy's butt. That's about it. The boy was unconscious. After they done throwed them in the water and stuff, I didn't see what they done with their clothes, but when I seen them throw them in the water, that's when I left. Stidham, what time was it? Jesse, I'm going to say about 7:30. I left by myself. Damien and Jason stayed there. I don't know what they done with the clothes. Well, after I'd done seen what Jason did to, I don't know which boy it was, but he cut his penis and everything, and I was still mad, and I still had whiskey in my bottle. I walked down the street drinking whiskey, and all of a sudden, I just busted it on the overpass. I went back the same way I came, up under by Lakeshore where I busted. It was at Lakeshore by the Lakeshore where, between Walmart and Lakeshore over the overpass. I busted it there. I was underneath walking. I didn't walk over it. I just walked underneath on the grass and stuff all the way through, and that's when I busted the bottle. I just threw it and it hit the side. Stidham, did you throw up? You told the officers that you threw up. Jesse, no, I was dizzy. I walked straight home. I went home, got something to eat, and went to Johnny. Took me, and we went to Dry's. He then goes on to recount how it was getting dark by the time he got home, and that the rest of the night pretty much went the way that he had said it went at trial. And Stidham did keep questioning his client, obviously wanting to know why he's suddenly telling him these things. And Miss Kelly keeps telling him that nobody ever asked him to put his hand on the Bible before. If they had asked him to put his hand on the Bible, he would have told the truth. He also mentions the trip to Dyer's for the wrestling, although he's no longer using it as an alibi, and denies ever speaking to Buddy Lucas about the attack. Quote, I hadn't seen Buddy since I had my haircut. The day I got arrested, that's the last time I seen Lucas. Stidham, Jesse, what you're telling me is different, obviously, from what you've told me for the past several months, 7 or 8 months through the trial. Now you've been telling me all along you didn't have nothing to do with this, that you weren't there, is that correct? Jesse, yes, sir. Stidham, why didn't you tell me that? Jesse, because you didn't never tell me to put my hand on no Bible. Stidham, you've had your hand on the Bible all this whole time we've been sitting here taping this? Jesse, yes, sir. Stidham, you're holding it right now. Jesse, yes, sir. Stidham, the prosecutor wants you to testify against those other boys. What do you want to do? Jesse, I really don't know. I know you know. I didn't cut none of them myself. Stidham, do you want to talk to your daddy before you make any decision? Jesse, yeah, but when they threw them in the water, that one was still moving. The one that was cut, his penis was completely cut off. He was moving because I saw him. Taping concluded at 5:11 p.m. So Stidham goes and talks to the prosecutors and lets them know that Jesse had confessed to them, and he would consider Jesse's statement truthful if he could find this broken Evan Williams bottle. So between 9:30 and 10 p.m. that evening, they got to the overpass in West Memphis. According to statements Davis later gave to a judge, we proceed, the four of us, to roam underneath the overpass of West Memphis and, lo and behold, find a broken bottle in the location indicated by his client. We then take the bottle to a local liquor store where we proceeded to spend the better part of an hour matching the bottle with certain items, and lo and behold, it matches with the brand name both Mr. Stidham had indicated that we should be looking for in the first place. Davis stated that Stidham was still not convinced. After all of this, they go back to Stidham's office, and they call Vichy Hutchinson, who confirms for them that she had, in fact, bought Jesse a bottle of Evan Williams whiskey. On February 17th, Jesse and Miss Kelly again confessed, this time to prosecutors, this over the objections of his defense attorneys. Both Dan Stidham and Greg Crow were present, as were Brent Davis and John Calvin's office in Rector, Arkansas. It is very important to note here that many West Memphis 3 supporters like to claim that Jesse Miss Kelly was offered a deal in return for his testimony. I have been studying this case for well over a decade at this point. I have never come across anything to indicate that Jesse Miss Kelly was offered a deal by the prosecution. In fact, if you read the notes from this particular confession, his lawyers inform him that he is not being offered any sort of a deal for this information, as do the prosecutors. The one provision that Jesse was trying to get was to see his girlfriend. The reason that Miss Kelly stated he was giving this statement was because he wants something done about it. The judge did allow him to make this statement, stating that his lawyers had to be present during the entire thing. I'm going to lead you a little piece from this statement. This is from Calvin. You have not been promised anything before your testimony, and you want to give it free and voluntary, and nobody has mistreated you. Miss Kelly, no. Davis, okay, I want to draw your attention back to the date that the three little boys were murdered, if you would. On that date, did you go to Robin Hood Woods? Miss Kelly, yes, sir, I did. After this, with a few small discrepancies concerning the people that he saw in the trailer park, Jesse pretty much tells the prosecutors verbatim what he told Dan Stidham. Later, Greg Crow stated that he believed Jesse Miss Kelly was perjuring himself. The statement began at 8:02 p.m. and ended at 8:45. The major difference between this and other confessions is that Miss Kelly finally placed himself in the tying up of the boys, while downplaying the sexual assault somewhat and continuing to maintain that Damien had sexually assaulted the boys. We are going to call it there this week. I hope you have enjoyed this, the ninth installment of the West Memphis 3 Redux. And we will be back next week to discuss the trials of Eccles and Baldwin. Again, if you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever it is you get your favorite podcasts. Also, consider becoming a Patreon like our number one patron channel. You can find the link to that in the show notes. Until next week, the Deathcast is a production of Corpse Creek Publishing in association with Big Pond Podcasting. Stay morbid.